It's the 9 o'clock hour of Cairo Nights. Mason, Mike. Happy Thursday, everyone. 98973, the State Roofing text line. That's how you can be a part of the conversation tonight. Now, Mike, you know how much we love bringing experts on the show.
That's all we do.
That's all we do. And we've got a whopper with us here. He is a former NSA. He is now principal security researcher at Jamf. He knows a lot about stuff that I don't, and I couldn't be more excited to talk with him. Patrick Wardle, thank you for joining Cairo Nights.
Thank you so much for the invite to be on the show. Definitely stoked to talk nerdy with you all.
That's awesome.
All right, well, let's talk. This is, I'm particularly interested in this because this is actually probably disproportionately affecting people in our area, given the sort of Silicon Valley junior nature of Seattle and the Puget Sound area. And this is Zoom teleconferencing. I mean, it has been the story in tech about Zoom's meteoric rise in subscriptions as a result of a lot of the stay-at-home orders. And certainly Washington was one of the early adherents at stay-at-home. And so teleconferencing has become huge. But Zoom has had a history of pretty mediocre security protections for the people who use its product. But it looks like things may be changing now. Can you first tell us about what were the problems with Zoom and then what looks like it might be changing at this point?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I think it's a really imperative topic to talk about given the prevalence of the product of Zoom, this wildly popular video chat application that we're seeing both used for kind of personal use, you know, people communicating with their families, their relatives, but also in the enterprise. So kind of at the macro level, the issue is Zoom has been like thrust to the forefront and has become incredibly wildly popular. And it's still kind of a new product. And often with new products, things like security might not be as baked in or as fleshed out as we would like for them to see. So I think Zoom was predominantly designed first and foremost to be very easy to use. And its goals were really to kind of gain as many users as possible. And that's fairly common, right? Startup companies, that's really generally their motivations. And that's kind of all well and good. The problem is security is generally an afterthought because security is not a sexy topic. It holds you up from rushing to market. I mean, you can imagine new customers, right? You tell them, hey, we spent 6 months and this new version is exactly the same as the old one, but it's more secure. They're probably not going to care that much. Whereas if you say, hey, here's this new version, all these great new features, customers are likely going to spring to that. So security often takes a backseat. And I think this is a very illustrative example. So some of the missteps, you mentioned Zoom's security and privacy track record being less than stellar. You know, if we look, I believe it was summer last year, a security researcher found a remotely exploitable security flaw where a malicious website could automatically turn on the camera on a person's computer via a insecure Zoom component. So if the user had Zoom installed, the camera could be remotely accessed. That's obviously far less than ideal and raises some security and privacy issues. More recently, we had an issue where it was observed that Zoom was sending user information to Facebook without alerting users of this, and even if the users didn't have a Facebook account. So again, some really privacy concerns being raised there. And so that's kind of what happened in the past. With Zoom's meteoric rise now, a lot of other security researchers, such as myself, jumped in. And this last week, we've also found some rather problematic new security issues.
Is it because when something first comes out, it may not be as popular, so people, both good agents and bad agents, are not necessarily focused on it. But when something sort of hits the way Zoom has hit in the last month or so, you start getting a lot more attention from not only the public, but also from the back end, your security researchers and your people who are gunning to exploit what is now a larger pool of people's information?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, if we put on our evil hacker hats and pretend to be, you know, a black hat hacker or perhaps even an employee working at a government spy agency, you know, you see the prevalence of Zoom just spread astronomically, it becomes this very juicy target, right? The other issue is a product like Zoom, kind of alluded to earlier, It's never been like fully examined or audited by security researchers. You know, you would hope that companies internally are doing this, but the unfortunate reality is they're generally, you know, chasing profits or user growth versus security. So as something becomes incredibly popular, it's, you know, like, wow, no one's ever really poked on this and looked at this. And so a lot of the vulnerabilities that you, myself, and other researchers found, they can have potentially high impacts from a security and privacy point of view, but they're very trivial bugs to find, very easy to find. So again, this illustrates that, you know, this product was just never audited before, likely because it just wasn't as popular. The stakes are a lot higher for everyone, so everyone's kind of piling in, both hackers and security researchers.
So what would you say to someone who's listening right now who's like, oh my gosh, I just got involved with Zoom for work or family or whatever it is, and now I'm worried about my information being stolen or my webcam and microphone being taken over?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And if you would have asked me yesterday, I would have a different answer than I have today. And that's interesting. And so I'll briefly discuss that. So on Monday, I found some problematic flaws in Zoom that affected the Mac client specifically, because generally I focus on software that runs on Apple's devices. And one of the problems I found is that if you have Zoom installed, if another piece of malware gets on your system in any way, it can actually piggyback off Zoom because of design flaws in Zoom, and allow the malware to access either the mic or the webcam surreptitiously, because Zoom has certain privileges to access the mic and webcam that the malware can equally leverage. My response at that point would be, you know, maybe think twice about using Zoom. I'm not saying don't use it, but there's a lot of flaws, and, you know, these are ones I stumbled across after looking at it for less than 5 minutes. So,
wow, kind really?
Who knows? Incredible, amazing. I'm just incredibly impressed. So first and foremost, they fixed those flaws and other flaws that other security researchers had reported in a day, which is incredible. Moreover, they came out and said, hey, we are going to enact immediately a feature freeze. We're not going to focus on, you know, new emojis and new bells and whistles. We are going to put all our resourcing efforts specifically on privacy and security issues. The only other company I've seen done this is Microsoft, the famous Bill Gates memo where I believe it was the early 2000s. He said, you know, Microsoft has a security problem. Let's really first and foremost focus on security. And we've seen that pay huge dividends for Microsoft. They are now widely regarded as build generally very secure products versus not as much maybe in the past. So to me, this really illustrates that Zoom has acknowledged there's a problem, as there was. But moving forward, they are going to focus internal resources, engineering efforts on security and privacy. They've also said they're going to bring in external researchers and security experts to help audit the code. And I fully believe that they will engage in all of this. So to me, moving forward, if you're a user of Zoom, I would say, you know, now I think Zoom has seen this as a wake-up call and finally is really going to take security and privacy, realize it's a very important component of their product and really focus on that. So I would have no problem using Zoom moving forward, whereas, you know, even a few days ago, I would have maybe warned against that.
So
that's really cool to see.
That's such a quick turnaround. That's a timeline I didn't expect. So do you have a timeline for how long it would take for them to sort of get through all of this stuff and then kind of consider this part done?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, again, the bugs, kind of the outstanding bugs that were known issues, they fix those and patch those. So those are great. So if you're a user that's running Zoom, I would say definitely make sure you update and or running the latest version because you're going to get a lot of security fixes baked in. The other things, you know, bringing in the external security researchers, those will probably take a few months and hopefully be an ongoing thing, right? Zoom adds new features, new code. That's something you want to continually audit. But, you know, I think it's really the best approach they could have taken. And so, I mean, really kudos to Zoom for stepping up and doing the right thing here, which I think will be good for business in the long run for them, but also good for all their customers and clients because, you know, video and chat applications kind of in a way have access to a lot of private stuff, right? They access your mic, your webcam. Mm-hmm. So if they have security problems in them, that's very, very problematic.
So
I guess what took so long? I mean, if they were able to fix these major security flaws in a day, it seems like, why wouldn't they have fixed them very quickly and very easily prior?
That's an excellent question. My personal opinion, which I think is accurate, is that Wall Street, our capitalistic society, the market in general, does not value security until it becomes a big enough issue. So we kind of chatted about earlier, really, Silicon Valley startups, publicly traded companies, their main goal, and they're legally obligated, is to do what's best for the shareholders, which is making money. And security doesn't make you money. New features do. So I think a lot of companies, Zoom included, just their priorities are not security. When security researchers come out, though, and point to a lot of these flaws, and Zoom or other companies get bad press because of this, that's something that can ultimately impact business and their profit lines, right? I just saw something that says SpaceX basically said, hey, we're not going to use Zoom anymore because there's some privacy concerns, right? That's impacting Zoom's bottom dollar. So at that point, the companies then realize that, hey, security is an important enough issue. It's going to impact our customers and our sales. And so then it becomes a priority. But unfortunately, until that happens, there's really no motivation for companies to focus on security, unfortunately. I mean, yes, it's the right thing to do, but companies aren't in the business of doing the right thing. So that's why I think it's really important for external security researchers to talk about their findings, and then also the press, the media, radio, to really disseminate that message, because in a way, we are then the drivers of increasing the security and privacy of these products, which ultimately benefits the end users, which is something I'm very, very passionate about.
We're talking with Patrick Wardell. He's formerly of the NSA. He's now a principal security researcher at Jamf. Patrick, you're talking about how security doesn't sell, and it's the features and stuff that sell. Is that because do people even really care about privacy or security? When I talk to people anecdotally, there seems to be a very lackadaisical attitude where it's like, well, they're gonna have all my info anyway. Who cares? Have you seen that?
Yeah, and it's another excellent point because, again, I don't want to place all the blame on these companies for not prioritizing security because, again, they do what the market dictates.
Right.
And the market obviously generally follows what the consumer dictates. So the fact that a lot of people, they don't care as much about their privacy and security as they should, definitely flows in or should be mentioned in this entire discussion. But I still think there is a percentage of the population, and that is growing, who demand higher levels of security and privacy. And I think companies like Apple have shown that as a company, if they kind of conform or prioritize those characteristics, those goals, you can be a very successful company.
Just as an example of how popular Zoom has gotten, I saw the very funny video. I think Boris Johnson, somebody pointed out the fact that he had Zoom on, and they're thinking like, "Why? This is pre any fixes to security concerns." Like, well, that's probably not a guy who should be using Zoom on his computer. And then I also own a bar here in Seattle, and a bunch of our regulars got together and had a meetup on Zoom and invited me and invited some of the bartenders into it, and I jumped in, and it was delightful, right? But then I'm started thinking, like, wow,
sure,
I had Zoom in my computer last summer, and I read some of the security warnings about it, and I thought, well, this is gone, and I just deleted it immediately. And I thought, well, now I'm back on it again. The growth was something like 67%. It was just astounding how popular it's gotten. Right now, should someone worry about, one, updating Zoom as soon as Zoom makes those updates available, or two, should they just eliminate it from their computer and then reinstall it, potentially if there's a better version of it out there?
So first and foremost, I would say if someone has to use Zoom, right, a company demands this, or, hey, all your friends have it, and that's just kind of the easiest way forward, just make sure you're always using the latest version. And that's a really good recommendation for any software, right? Always good to run from a security point of view. When your computer says there's an update, update. When Zoom says there's an update, update. Because a lot of times new versions have a lot of security vulnerabilities. And what hackers will do is a lot of times they will be monitoring this as well. And when a new update comes out, if there were some internal security fixes, the hackers will reverse engineer the products and then try to target all the users who still are using the old version. So again, from a security point of view, updating is always a no-brainer. And as I mentioned, Zoom fixed this in a day. They actually already pushed out updates, so a lot of these issues that we've talked about have been fully mitigated, and there are fixes available. So if you're stuck using Zoom, update. I would say, though, there's other products, especially if you're using this for personal use, that may make more sense. One great example is FaceTime, right? There's limitations. You know, both people have to have Apple products, but FaceTime is a product that was built since day one with security and privacy in mind, right? Full end-to-end encryption, a lot of other great security features. Right. And sure, Apple has had its share of security bugs and flaws, but security and privacy is largely a priority to Apple. So a product like FaceTime is almost by default going to be more secure. Now, I would caveat, if you're a government official, you know, I would really not, I would really like perhaps for them to use a product that's been maybe more vetted and more tested, because you have to assume they're talking about sensitive, potentially classified information. And we would be naive to think that sophisticated hackers and well-resourced nation-state adversaries, we'd be naive to think that they are not looking at Zoom and saying, wow, you know, Boris has this on his computer. Right. Like, if I can find a remote flaw, I can hack in and basically turn on the mic and now have a room capture audio device into the British government, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And this is true of any software, right? Government should be very careful about what software they're putting on. I would just say Zoom, with its track record, yes, things are improving, but I'm not sure it's like government-grade security. Yes.
Patrick, we have about 30 seconds. Can you tell us about your blog?
Sure. So I run a Mac security website called ObjectiveC.com. It's Objective-SEE. And it's kind of my side hobby, my passion. There's a lot of open source free security tools. I posted all my Zoom findings on this blog. And the goal is really just to educate users and provide free tools. Some of the tools, some of my favorites, there's one that monitors mic and camera access. So even if a hacker gets into your system or somehow is surreptitiously using Zoom in the background to spy on you, you'll get an alert, you'll get a notification. So a lot of the attacks I find, I've already written tools or then write tools to thwart that. Having worked at the NSA, I have a really good understanding of how, let's say, black hat or gray hat offensive cyber espionage operations work. And I've tried to build free, largely open source tools that end users can install, so that they can protect their systems from a lot of these attacks. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, I run Macs. I run all these tools as well. So kind of like, you know, helps protect my systems. And then I figured sharing is caring, and I'm very passionate about protecting end users' security and privacy rights. So
you're not only the president, you're also a client.
Exactly.
That's awesome. That is Patrick Wardle. Formerly of the NSA, he's now principal security researcher at Jamf. That's J-A-M-F, and he runs Objective-C-S-E-E.com. Patrick, thank you so much for talking to us on Cairo Nights.
Thank you so much for having me, and next time I'm in Seattle, let's definitely grab a beer at your bar. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as we get open back up, man, I'm buying rounds for everyone.
Well, hopefully that's sooner than later, and I will be there.
Excellent. Awesome. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you. We'll be back with more Cairo Nights right after.